exciting start, eh? Okay, I was thinking this week, you know how when you're watching the movies and how important the background music is? Because it goes with what's happening and it gets you all excited. So I thought, what if I had some intro music to give you guys a little bit of, you know, here comes, here's what we're going to go on. So you hear that, right? You're all geared up. It's going to be exciting and adventurous. Here we go. All right, let's try. What if it was a little bit different? Let's try our second one, guys. Let's try one more. One more. Last one. See if you can figure out what mood we're going for here. Okay, now which one are we going to go for? Here's what I want to ask you today. What is the soundtrack of your life? What is the music that is playing in the background of the decisions that you make, the behavior that you have, the attitudes that you hold in your life? If you had to pick a song or a type of music, what would be playing in the background? Right, so I run out here in Indiana Jones, and maybe that's what's playing in your life right now, and you think everything's exciting, and I'm on an adventure, and there's so many neat opportunities in life, and I'm just rushing around, and really neat things are happening. Or you go to something a little slower, maybe something more emotional, something more gripping. Maybe you're going through some difficult times. Or that last one, I think probably just about every one of us would recognize that. It's Jaws, right? And you think of that music, and you think of people at the beach, and they're swimming, and they're having fun, and they're playing with their friends, and everything looks like it's going really well, and everything's happy. But then when you hear the music in the background, you know something ominous is coming. Everything looks good on the surface. Everything looks like they're having fun. When you're watching that movie, you know, you see all the people having a good time at the beach in the warm weather. Sorry to bring that up today. And then, you know, all of a sudden the music comes on. And you know, even though everything looks good, something bad is going to happen. Danger is lurking. And that's what I want to talk about today, about the soundtrack in the back of our lives and even in recognizing a little bit of danger that there might be in our lives. If you want to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, we are going to do a two-week little mini-series on wisdom. And we're going to talk this week from one angle, and next week we're going to turn and look at the other angle. This week we're going to take the angle of warning. Danger could be coming. And we're going to take that, hopefully, that warning very seriously. And then next week we're going to turn around and we're going to look at it from the other perspective, from a very wise perspective. We're in Proverbs chapter 7. We'll start in verse 6. And just to figure some of this out, you need to understand that in the book of the Proverbs, we are introduced to two ladies, two women. And they show up throughout the book of Proverbs. One is Lady Wisdom, and we'll talk about her next week. The other is Lady Folly. And what we have is in a number of places in Proverbs, there's this metaphorical language used where folly or stupidity and wisdom, skillful living, are personified as these women. And using those kind of metaphors, our authors tell us something about folly, about stupidity, and about wisdom and how we should live. And one of the ways that they're talked about is as men pursue them or as they pursue men in romantic relationships. And so on the one level, if you just read it straight out, this morning's text, some of your Bibles will have a title that says Warning Against the Adulteress or the Adulterous Woman or something like that. And it talks about a man and a woman who shouldn't really be together and a few things happen. We'll see what happens. But the deeper metaphor here, to figure out what's tied. It's not just talking about the one situation of adultery. It's talking about folly or stupidity and what stupidity does to us and how it attacks us. So here's Proverbs 7, verse 6. We start with the setting, and the setting is the writer Solomon, who he's looking out of his window. We'll read it, verse 6. For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night, and darkness. So here is, you know, we have this figure, Solomon, and he's looking out of his window, and most people wouldn't have glass in their windows at that time. Glass was very expensive. They had little lattices that would crisscross against each other, and so if you wanted to close the window for privacy, you'd rotate it so that no one could see in, or that elements, weather, couldn't get in. And then if you wanted to see out, you'd twist it another way so that there was openings and you could look out and see. So here he is looking through his lattice, and he sees down on the street. He says, I look through my lattice, I've seen among the simple, I've perceived among these a young man lacking sense, or lacking heart, literally, which we might actually talk about when they say heart, we might use the word mind, lacking common sense, or the ability to really think things through. Passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight of the evening. So this is the situation that your mom warned you about when you were a teenager and you started getting a little bit more independent. You started being able to go out on your own, right? A lot of our parents told us something like, nothing good happens after fill in the time, right? Six? Dinner time. You're in here and that's it. There you go. That's a safe way to go. And whatever that time is, nothing good happens after this. You know, it starts out when we're really young. When the streetlights come on, you get home. And then when we get older, the stakes rise a little bit and the circumstances change as we go. But here he is, and he is in the wrong part of town. He is on her road where she lives, and he's wandering around in the dark when he's not supposed to be. And this is where, for you and I, when we're reading this, we start to hear the Jaws music. Da-na, da-na, da-na. Something is ominous here. This is not where he's supposed to be. He's on the other side of the tracks. He knows this woman is there, and he's just kind of allowing himself to walk down this path near her house. And we know when we read this, something that's not good is going to happen. We have reservation. The music in the background is playing. If we turn this into a movie, and we just know, you know, here's Solomon looking, I see this guy, and he's kind of slow. I mean, up here, he doesn't have common sense, and he's in her street. He's going this direction. And we all know when we read this, the other thing, when we hear the music, we know a little bit about what's going to happen. Not just that something ominous is going to happen, but these clues, because this is something that, you know, the way it's written, it's common experience. We know some of the things that are probably going to happen when you have this young man going, you know, in the dark towards this lady's house, and it emphasizes near her corner, taking the road to her house. We know where the road goes. We know what's going to happen. And what we're going to look at today is the unfolding of where this road goes and where it leads. And what we're going to ask ourselves is, what road am I on, and does it go to where I want it to lead? Is the path that I'm on right now, is it the one that leads to the destination that I want to be at? I want to have a strong marriage. I want to have secure finances. I want to be a generous person. I want to be strong spiritually. I want to fill in the blank. And the question is the road that I'm on now leading me to that destination, or is the Jaws music playing, and am I really going around some dangerous places to a destination that I really don't want to go, to a place where I never thought I would end up? And the reality is, a lot of us through our lives, probably all of us at some time, have realized that we took the wrong road. We realized that we ended up at a destination that we never really wanted to be at. We wanted to go in one direction, but we kind of let things go, and we ended up in somewhere completely different with a whole set of consequences, with a whole set of circumstances that we never dreamed we would be. But then you look back and you say, oh, look at the road. Yeah, that road led right to here. That's why I'm here. Those are some of the questions that we want to ask ourselves today. Now, what we have, verse 10, and behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. And so we have this somewhat senseless young man who's wandering on the way to this woman, and now we have the introduction of the woman. And she meets him dressed in a prostitute, dressed very revealingly, very sensuously, very invitingly, wily of heart, or literally guarded in heart. That is, I may be, by the way I'm dressing, offering you a lot of myself, but really deep down, not offering who she is. She's got her heart guarded. She's loud. She's wayward or stubborn. Her feet don't stay at home. And now she's in the street, the market, all these public places, and she lies in wait. She's going to come after our simple young man here. And then from verses 13 down, we're going to see some of her tactics. Remember, this adulterous woman is stupidity. It is folly. It is the way that you do not want to go. We're going to look at a few of the tactics. These are tactics that if you look at these, if you think about some of the decisions that you've made in life that were not your best decisions, if you think about some of the things that landed you in places you never wanted to go, with circumstances you never hoped to have, mistakes that you have made, I will tell you, if you go through these tactics, you will find that part of that decision somewhere was at least one, if not a mixture of all of these three things contributed to you making those decisions and those behaviors. And we want to look at them, and we want to expose them. We want to reveal them so that when we are that young man walking down that street, we are just a little bit wiser, that we know what is up, that we know the battle that fights against us. So let's keep reading. Verse 13. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. First she comes out, she grabs him, and she lays one on him. She gives him a big kiss. You know, this is the invite of invites, right? Come here. And then she says, she lines up some reasons why they should now be together. I had to offer sacrifice and paid my vows. On the one hand, she says, I've gone through the religious motions. I've done what I'm supposed to do. As we keep reading, I'm not so sure that either of them really care about that. Maybe more interesting for us is that when you go to offer sacrifice, when you go to pay your vows, you go and you take, you know, a great animal, one of your best animals, and you sacrifice it. And when you do that, you give a certain portion to the priest, and then you get to take the rest of it back for yourself. Which means what this woman is saying is, I just went and paid my vow, which means there's a lot of food in the fridge. Come on over. We can eat meat because, you know, in this culture, eating meat would have been fairly special. It wouldn't be something they do every day. You know, meat was precious and expensive, and so it was usually reserved for great times of celebration and stuff like that. What she's saying is, hey, I just brought home the rest of that goat. Life is good. The fridge is full. Are you hungry? Come on in. I've just paid my sacrifices, paid my vows. So now I've come out to meet you. Eagerly I've found you. I'm pursuing you. Come on, come on. We've got lots of food. And then I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens and Egyptian linen. I have got a king-size bed with silk sheets. And everything is prepared for you. I made the bed. I've been anticipating you. I have perfumed the bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Listen. Every preparation has been made. I got food. I got wine. The bed is made. The throw pillows are all put there nicely. It's going to be comfortable and luxurious. You cannot pass up this opportunity. And here's the first tactic of stupidity. Stupidity gives us a false sense of urgency. Everything is ready. Now is the time to enjoy. You don't want to miss this opportunity. How could you pass this up? Now is the time. And how many stupid decisions have we made because we were impulsive? or because it wasn't necessarily the plan that we had to go in a certain direction, but all of a sudden a circumstance that was so tempting came to us that we said, oh, I just can't pass that up. No, I didn't have the money saved. No, I wasn't planning to do this. No, I know it doesn't fit into my schedule. No, I know that I promised someone else that I would spend that time with them, but how could I pass this up? Do you know what we say? I'd be stupid not to. Don't we? Isn't that, and here's an example. If you're looking for an example, we live in a very materialistic society. Isn't so much marketing geared towards now is the time? You don't have to wait. Some of them literally use those words. You know, have you seen the commercials for cars and trucks and those kinds of things? You can't pass this up. 0% down. You don't even have to be able to afford it. You don't have to give me anything today. Here's your car right now. You can drive it off. You can pay later. A lot more interest. We'll take all your money. Oh, I'd be stupid not to. I can get a car for nothing down. Do you know who's really good at this? And I'm not picking on them. This is good marketing, but it's interesting to think about. Apple is phenomenal at this. You got to have it now. You got to have the latest technology. They are so good at it that when they come out with the next newest, greatest phone, iPad, whatever device, people line up at terrible hours all night for the privilege of giving their hard-earned money for something in return, right? And you have to. Oh, I got to be the first one to get it. I got to get it now. I've got the iPhone. Oh, I've got the iPhone 4. You know, way behind. But I didn't stand in line for the whatever they have now. What are they at? Five letter something? 5S? But, you know, you got to have it now. And they're so good at it that we think it is a privilege for us to go and buy their product. Oh, it's so nice of you to let me go shell it out. But it's true, and we think we need it. And do you know what happens after that cycle where that newest, greatest gadget, you know, as soon as the luster wears off just a little bit, you know what they do? They start gearing up for the next one. And I'll be the first in line for that one. I got to have it right now. I got to be the first one to get it. It's urgent. And we say so many stupid things in our finances. You know one of the stupid things that we say in our finances? I don't think any of us would say this out loud, but we live it. We say, I can spend more than I make. And it's easy because someone will hand you a credit card and confirm that you can spend more than you make. Go ahead. Just charge it. We'll worry about how to pay for that later. You got to have this now. Everything is ready. This is the greatest new car. This is the greatest new gadget. You got to go on the vacation now. You can't delay gratification until later. You deserve it, don't you? Yeah. No. And we get into this false sense of urgency. You know, get rich quick opportunities. You know, you can be rich now. Have you ever seen those ads online and stuff like that? You can work at home and put in a couple hours a week, and you can be a millionaire right now. Right. No, you can't, but so many people fall for these things that seem too good. Everything is ready. If you just buy in now, just make this decision right now. And we jump in. It's only on sale for a limited time. Be a fool not to buy it. Oh, yeah, we need the new big screen TV. We'll just put it on the credit card. We make decisions in our businesses ahead of their time because we can't wait for the right time when we can afford something or when it truly makes sense. We rush into relationship commitments ahead of their time. And that's probably the most direct, you know, this is what this is all about. Just rush in. Oh, he's so good looking. Oh, she's so smart. Oh, yeah, we'll be perfect together. And we just rush in and we give so much of ourselves to people, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally. We just jump right in. Now is the time. Let's go for it. This sense of urgency. One of the questions that I suggest we ask ourselves when we see that circumstances are starting to dictate to us how we make decisions, and when we feel this sense of urgency coming on, we ask ourselves this: is the decision that I am making based on a good plan or a tempting circumstance? Is this what I've planned out to do when I sat down and I thought, this is the direction I want to go in my life? This is where I want my finances to be? This is what I want my relationship to be? This is, you know, whatever decision you're making. Was this something that I sat down and thought through about where this direction leads me, about where I'm going? Or did something just flash in front of my face? I said, oh, that's too good to pass up. And the reality is, when things seem too good to pass up, sometimes they are too good. Ultimately, we make impulsive decisions because this is the real, we convince ourselves in these urgent circumstances of why we do things. I needed a new car. The other one eventually was going to break down, which I suppose is true. They eventually will. But we make all of these decisions rashly, and we justify them, and we say, well, the deal was just so good, or he or she was just so nice to me, or whatever. We justify making rash and impulsive decisions, giving in to the urgent. And here's the reality. Most of the time it comes down to this. We just want what we want. And we can find a zillion different reasons why we got to have it now. But the reality is, I want what I want. The question is, are we actually being intentional, or are we letting others dictate where we go? Are we letting these circumstances jump in and change us off course because now you've got a great opportunity? Or instead, are we saying, here's the path that I want to go? You know, we see our young man lacking sense just kind of wandering through the streets at night, just kind of letting himself walk past her house, walk down her corner, just allowing that circumstance to come to be. Well, that is going to lead somewhere. Is a decision I'm making based on a good plan or attempting circumstances, something that we sit down and think through where it leads. And then the reality is, the reason we let ourselves get so tempted is because we want what we want. And that leads me to the second tactic of stupidity. It's the promise of pleasure. Look at verse 18, and this is a little R-rated. Come, let us make our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. Actually, loves, plural there. Come, let us take our fill of loves till the morning. Let us delight ourselves with all kinds of loves. So just to be graphic, just for a quick second, this is, we can do whatever you want all night long. We can perform all kinds of sex acts. We can do everything. Think of how great this will be. And it's a little bit of a graphic picture, but it shows us this is what stupidity does. This is how it hooks us in. It says, think of the pleasure. Think of the experience. I promise you this is going to be good. Again, you don't want to pass this up, do you? This is going to be such an amazing experience. Why delay gratification? You can have it all now. And do you know what this passage is completely lacking? And it sounds a little bit obvious and stupid when I say it out loud. Any talk about the relationship other than physically. Just come in. Let's not talk about, if we're compatible. Let's not talk about, whether we're going to be together for so many. Let's not talk about if we want to have kids together. Let's not talk about, are you committed to me? There's no plans like that. It's just a promise of pleasure. Come and enjoy, and we'll worry about everything else later. Maybe we won't. Who cares? Just think of what tonight is going to be like. I promise you, you're not going to want to miss this. And man, we fall into this all the time. I mean, again, one that's not too far from the metaphor here. Pornography in today's day and age invites us to, quote unquote, enjoy whatever you want. And no one will get hurt, and no one will find out, and it's not really that bad a thing. Everybody does it, and it's just pure pleasure. And what it doesn't tell you is that it completely ruins relationship. It takes one of the most intimate relational things that you can do with another person, and it completely devoids you of any relationship, something you can do on your own and click off the computer and stop thinking about anybody else that was involved. But we get lured in by this pleasure. You can have whatever you want. It's right here on your computer screen. It's right here on your phone. It's right here on your tablet. It's just so easy to get, and no big deal. Or how about this one? We tell ourselves that marriage is supposed to be easy. It's just supposed to be enjoyable all the time. And if it's not, then something horrible has gone wrong. Or how about this? You're in a marriage, and you say, hey, we have some problems. We have some issues, but it'll get better with time. You ever told yourself that? in lieu of it'll get better with hard work and communication and building up something strong. It'll get better with time. And your spouse comes and says, I really think we should talk to somebody about some of the issues that we have and we should work on it. But you say, that's no fun and that seems like hard work and I don't want to bring up all these issues. You say, no, 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 that's not for me. We're doing fine. Things will work out. It'll be fine. Let's just turn on the TV and enjoy. We'll just go out for dinner and forget our problems. And we get you know, hooked into this promise of pleasure. I just want to go for pleasure. Just want to go for the things that feel good. Another thing we might say is, if it feels good, do it. It's the motto of a whole generation. Follow your heart. If you feel like doing something, go for it. If you feel it must be the right thing to do. Chase pleasure. And we find that, in a second, we'll find out that's not true. That these decisions, they lead somewhere. Again, you're on a path that goes somewhere. And so the question that we might ask when we confront the temptation, the promise of pleasure, is, does this decision help me towards my long-term goal? Does this decision or behavior, is it helping me to get to the destination that I want to get? Or am I walking in front of the house of the woman who's going to come out, seize me and kiss me and pull me in? Oh, it's going to be so pleasureful. But is that road leading you to where you want it to go in the long term, or today what feels good? You know, I want a strong marriage. What road leads there? I want to be free in my finances to be generous. What road leads there? I want to have solid relationships with my extended family or with my kids. Well, what road are you on? And is it the one that says, today I just need to feel good? Or is it the one that says, I need to make smart decisions in the long term that help me to get where I want to go? What happens is, when we ignore that there's hard work in life, when we're always just giving in to our impulses, when we're just taking the pleasure, then the things that are truly important go unattended. Our marriage gets a little bit worse and a little bit worse, and we don't even notice it. It slips by. Our relationships and our friendships get just a little bit further apart, and we don't notice. And as we seek ourselves, these other things suffer. And so here's the final one. The final one we'll talk about this morning. The third tactic. Verse 19 says, "For my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him, a full moon. At a full moon, he will come home." Remember, it's the first of the month. We know that because that's, you know, when she said she was going to give her sacrifices at the temple. What she's saying is, we've got at least 2 weeks. My husband's not coming home. He took a lot of money with him. He is gone for weeks. In other words, translation, we're not going to get caught. We've got time. There's not going to be any consequences for this. Third one's a denial of consequences. Come on in. Take your fill. Enjoy all the pleasure. Let's live it up today. We got a couple of weeks. My husband's gone. He'll never find out. This isn't going to cost anything. And here's a few stupid things that we say along these lines. I'm the exception. Have you ever thought that? I know a lot of people, they get tempted in this area, and then they take this step, and that takes them forward, and the next thing you know, they've made a bad decision, they've gone the wrong way, but I'm the exception. That won't happen to me. Or how about this one? I'm strong enough to handle it. I know these other circumstances and decisions, it buries other people, but not me. I'm strong enough. I can handle anything. I can handle the temptation. I can walk down that road. It won't happen to me. How about this one? I can ignore my family and it'll be okay. Well, I know you wouldn't say it like that, but this is a phase in my career and I just got to put in a lot of hours right now, and I know I'm neglecting my family, but it won't be forever. But we'll be fine. I can handle the stress. You know, our time management skills, we say yes, we say yes, we say yes. We load ourselves up with scheduled things. We put this great burden on ourselves. We take on at work or at school or even in our families, we take on everybody else's pressures, everybody else's problems, and the responsibility to make everything better. And we say, I'm strong enough. I can handle this stress. It's not going to be me that burns out. It's not going to be me that freaks out. It's not going to be me that makes a bad decision based on this. And in our time management, our stress, and our schedule, somehow we convince ourselves there will be no consequence for this. I'll still have a good relationship with my spouse. Oh, I'll see my kids once in a while, and they'll grow up, and they'll be fine, and it'll be okay. We're going to go back to our financial example. Oh, just this one, you know, I'll put it on the credit card and we'll worry about it later. So a credit card, you can leave it on there as long as you want. A line of credit, you don't have to pay that back. Not right away. You can pay it whenever you want. No real consequence there. And we convince ourselves that we're in control. We convince ourselves that things aren't that bad. We convince ourselves that our problems aren't leading a certain way. How about this one? I really want to have a strong spiritual life, but I just can't find time to spend with the Lord. Oh, but that'll be okay. There'll be a consequence for that. And avoiding our spiritual discipline, the time that we spend with the Lord, the time that we need to spend with our spouse, the time we need to spend with our kids. Stupidity says there won't be consequences. I can get away with this. You know, we talk about pornography again. There'll be no one will even know. What we don't realize is that we're detaching ourselves from this idea, this amazing, powerful idea of love, that when two people come together, it's not just about the physicality. It's about this beautiful, wonderful union of two entire people, spiritual, emotional, and physical, coming together. There's no consequences. Yes, there's grave consequences of making that into something that's just you individually. Taking all the relationship, because eventually that's the way you start to respond to those things. It's how you think of it. When the time comes and you want to enjoy that relationship with someone else, you've conditioned yourself to think differently and act differently. Stupidity says, oh, it's not going to be that bad. Oh, it'll be fine. There's no consequences. You know, I wonder how many people, some of you may have experienced this. There's commercials on the radio I've heard recently where it's the quit smoking campaign. And they have people come on and they talk about that first cigarette they ever tried and how they regret it. You know, I didn't think that this would have the consequence that I would be addicted and that I would smoke for so many years and then it would cause me all this pain and health problems and all the rest of it. And if I could just go back and see where that road led and that there are consequences, I never would have done it. Maybe you can, in one way or another, identify with that. I just wish I hadn't taken that first step because it led to other things, things I never wished would have happened, circumstances that I wish I never had to endure. And so here's my final question for that one. When we see ourselves denying, being in denial of consequences, here's a question we might ask ourselves. If someone was in my situation, came to me for advice, what would I tell them to do? Because here's the thing, most of us don't lack common sense. We just sometimes lack the ability to follow our own advice, right? Again, we try and cheat ourselves. Oh, I'm strong. No, you shouldn't do that because that's a problem area. But somewhere else we say, I could do that. I'd be fine. I'd get away with that. I wouldn't get caught. I wouldn't have consequences. I would be strong enough. Why don't we follow our own advice? Oftentimes when we take a step back and we get just a little bit objective about things, we can say, hey, I know you think this isn't going to catch you. I know you think that this isn't going to be destructive in your life, but I can see where it's going. And then apply that same good sense to ourselves. I'm making decisions. Where does this lead? What are the consequences? Where does this road actually go? Is that the destination that I want to be at? Are those the decisions that I want to make? Now, let me just take a quick pause and a word to the wise. And I mean this. Some of you are wise. You know, part of it comes with life experience. It comes with time. It comes with making mistakes. It comes with experiencing a lot of these things. And some of you, you may hear this and think, and I mean this in the best possible way, you might think, hey, I figured a lot of that out. You know, I've been blessed by God, that God has put me in such a place where I've made some good financial decisions and I've had a good plan and so things are going well and stable in my finances. You might say, hey, I learned over the years how to treat my wife and how to communicate, and we have a strong marriage and things have gone well. You know, my relationships, things in my family are going well and I've learned how to treat them. And you might be sitting there thinking, and somewhere in the back of your mind, you might think, hey, I could be up there today. I could share this with people. I have been there. I'd be better off than that young guy up there. And you'd probably be right. Some of you could get up here and do a much better job. I completely admit that. If that's you, a couple of things. Number one, one of the things we all need to be on guard against is pride. Because when we start to think, hey, I've got it. hey, I've really made it. Hey, I know how to make wise decisions, and I've avoided certain pitfalls, and the ones that I've made, I've learned from, and I'm getting ahead in life, and things are going well, and I'm being successful in the best sense of the word in my relationships and in my spiritual life, then we need to make sure that that pride doesn't come in and say, hey, you can do it all. So be on guard for that. And here's the second thing, and I think this is a great way that some of us can protect ourselves against pride. And this is, I'm asking you a favor. You've been around for a while. If you've got quite a bit of life experience, if you've learned from some of these things, I need to ask you a favor. Because here at Westside, we are so blessed with a young population. A lot of our students are home this week, and they'll be back in a couple of weeks. But we have got a ton of people who are in that kind of, you know, 18 to 20-something, 30-something age bracket. There's a ton of young adults here who are just starting out in life, and we're just trying to figure things out, and we haven't had all the experiences, and we don't know what all the consequences are like, and we haven't always had people teaching us really good lessons, and some of these things you have dealt with. You have gone through. You've learned some of them the hard way. Some of them you've seen other people learn the hard way. And you've built some of this wisdom into your life over years and years, decades maybe, of living and walking with Christ. If that's true, could I ask you to share that wisdom with us? And I don't mean going around preaching and saying, this is what you should do and this is how you should do it. I mean it this way, in a humble way. When you sit in your small group and there's people younger that are going through things that you went through once upon a time, would you be willing to share? Just really vulnerably be willing to share not just your victories, but some of the things you messed up on. And as those topics come up and you talk about those things in your small group and you say, you know, today I'm in one place, but there was a time in my life where I really struggled with this, where our marriage was really rocky, where our finances, we made some really bad decisions. And would you be willing to, in a vulnerable way, just say, hey, I've learned some of this, and can I share with you some of the wisdom that I have? Some of the decisions I wish I hadn't made? Some of the decisions that I'm so glad that I made? Would you take a look around and invest in one or two young people this year? If that's you, you've got some experience in life, someone who sits around you, near you, someone you talk to in the hallway, maybe you'd say, hey, I'd love to buy you a cup of coffee sometime. Maybe we'd do it once a month or every couple of weeks. We get together, and as you listen to people who are younger and behind you, would you be willing to say, hey, I'd love to share some of my experience? Again, not in this preachy, this is what you should do, but I've been there and I've had times where I had to endure the consequences, and times where I made bad decisions, times where I made good decisions. And let people know about that. Let people know what you've learned. Let people know the good times, the bad things. We need to hear that, some of us young adults, because we don't always know where the danger is. We don't always hear the Jaws music. And I hope for those of us who are a little less experienced in life that we'd be willing to hear it. That we would seek out some of these people who have wisdom and be able to sit with them and say, hey, here's where I'm struggling with, and I don't know what the right decision is. I'll tell you that when we start to operate that way as community, different generations coming together and learning from each other and asking advice, what a powerful tool for bringing us together. What a powerful tool for some of us to be able to see some of the pitfalls that may lie ahead of us. Here's the principle for this morning. It's found in Proverbs 27, verse 12. It says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. The wise person sees danger ahead. They hear the Jaws music. Something ominous is coming. They look ahead on the road that they're on, and they say, you know, that destination is not where I thought I would be, not where I want to go. And then they do something about it. It says they take refuge. They go and hide. They run the other way. Wise people don't get sucked in by the stupidity and just keep going until they suffer. Wise people look ahead. They see the danger. And then they do something about it. They start making different decisions. They get on a different road. They run out of the bad part of town. They get somewhere that's safer. In other words, a wise person hears the soundtrack of their life and realizes that a turn for the worse is coming. Here's what we need to ask ourselves. Where's there danger in my life? Where's there danger in your life? Is there a spot in your life where you say, wow, you know, the behaviors, the patterns that I've got into, this doesn't lead to where I want to go. The way that we're acting in our marriage doesn't lead to where I want to be as a married person. The things that I'm doing in my finances don't lead to a generous and secure financial situation. The way that I'm treating my extended family or my kids or the time that I'm spending at work versus at home just does not lead to a healthy family. Where's their danger? And then are we willing to do something about it to change? And so here's the takeaway. Stop flirting with stupidity and get married to wisdom. Stop flirting with disaster, with stupidity. Stop allowing yourself to walk down that road. Verse 21 in Proverbs 7 says, with much seductive speech she persuades him. With her smooth talk she compels him. All at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter or as a stag is caught fast. Till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into his snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Please, please, please take this to heart. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't be stupid. That was my own little comment there. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. If you just follow that road, it leads to complete ruin. Don't be stupid. Stop flirting with stupidity. That's today's takeaway. Next week, we're going to talk about how we get married to wisdom. And I'll give you just a little bit of a heads up now. What we have here in this chapter, this metaphoric adulterous woman, what we're supposed to take away is this is not the kind of girl you take home to mom. Okay? Could you imagine that? You bring her home for dinner. Hey, mom, this is my girlfriend. She's married, but I was walking around at the terrible part of town the other night, late at night, and she came out and kissed me. She invited me right in. She's really pretty. She makes me feel good. And don't worry, her husband's out of town. And I'm sure this is going to work out, and they're not really in love anyway, and she won't hurt me, and she'll be faithful this time, and everything is going to work out great. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31 and 30 and 31 says this, "And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." One of the great metaphors in the Bible of how we can relate to God is through marriage. And the adulterous woman is when we chase idols, when we chase self, when we chase something else. And instead, Christ comes to us and says, "I am wisdom. Church, be my bride. Let's get married." And may all of us stop chasing, stop being lured in, stop flirting with stupidity, and let's get married to our Savior Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that for some of us who are on paths that lead to hurtful, painful, bad circumstances and consequences, that today might be a time where we turn away. Lord God, that we might see that these temptations that we have to make decisions for today, for pleasure, that lure us in and say, it's urgent, do this now, that we might see the stupidity in them. God, would you help us to be a community who would come around us and build in each other wisdom, to have generations pass on wisdom to younger generations, and that we might learn from one another. And that ultimately that we might run away from stupidity and that we might run right into your arms of great grace and love. That you might lead us and guide us in all that we do. In Christ's name, amen.